Introducing Home Care Plus, a new subscription service from Lowe's that helps make life easier by giving members a hand with home maintenance. Let Lowe's tackle the tasks you keep meaning to do, like electric dryer vent cleaning, replacing hard-to-reach light bulbs, and more. Subscribe to Home Care Plus for just $99 a year and consider your to-do list done. Members get more at Lowe's. Available in select zip codes only. Cancel anytime. Non-refundable fee. Product purchase required. Terms and service restrictions apply. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome to the Paranormal Deep Dive from Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks.
All right, get ready, everyone, because today we're taking a deep dive into a place where history gets a little, well, haunted. Savannah's Moon River Brewing Company. We're talking spooky stories, historical intrigue, and of course, a little skepticism, just to keep things interesting, right?
You know, what I find so fascinating about Moon River is that it's not your typical ghost story. It's like this place where documented history, you know, real events get all tangled up with these ongoing claims of paranormal activity. Makes you wonder if maybe those creaky floorboards have some stories of their own to tell.
Okay, so we're not just talking about things that go bump in the night here. We're talking about a place with some serious, let's call it character, etched into the walls.
Absolutely. And it all starts way back in 1821 when the building first opened its doors as the City Hotel.
1821. Wow, this place is old. I bet those walls could tell some stories, huh? So was it really the place to be back then? Like the hottest spot in Savannah?
Oh, absolutely. Picture Savannah in its prime. This place was the social hub. We're talking loggery, political intrigue, maybe even a duel or two went down in the shadows of those chandeliers.
Duels. Okay, now that's the kind of energy I'd want to steer clear of. But what happened? How did this bustling social scene turn into, well, a brewery with a reputation for being haunted?
Well, I see, like a lot of grand old places, the City Hotel had its ups and downs. The Civil War, it hit Savannah's economy hard, and the hotel, it just couldn't escape the downturn. In fact, for a while, it was even used as a makeshift hospital during a yellow fever outbreak.
Whoa. Okay, now those are some heavy vibes. I've heard about this idea of residual energy, but imagine the emotional weight of a yellow fever ward back in the 1800s, no less. No wonder people say they feel something there.
You're right. Those events, they leave a mark. And you know what's interesting? It's actually during the building's renovation into Moon River Brewing Company back in the late 1990s that all these stories, all these whispers of something more, they really started to bubble up.
So it's like the renovation work, all that noise and disruption, it kind of stirred something up.
It's possible. Workers started reporting all sorts of strange things. Missing tools, sudden cold spots, you know, that feeling like you're being watched. All the classic signs. But it's the basement. Now that's where things get really interesting and a lot creepier, too.
The basement. Okay, here we go. This is where it gets good. It's like every good haunting needs a creepy basement, right? Tell me everything.
Well, they say the basement at Moon River comes with its own resident entity. They call him Toby.
Kobe. And is Toby a friendly ghost?
Mm-hmm.
Asking for a friend.
Let's just say that Toby isn't exactly known for his warm and fuzzy personality. People who have encountered him, well, they use words like malevolent, even aggressive.
Okay, hold on. Malevolent, as in not just your typical ghostly footsteps and flickering lights, but actual, like, bad vibes.
Let's just say, if I were working there, I wouldn't want to be caught alone in the basement. People have reported feeling this overwhelming sense of dread down there, like something unseen is watching their every move. Some even claim to have been physically shoved by an unseen force.
Physically shoved. Now, that's not your average ghostly encounter. Come on, spill the tea. What kind of details are we talking about here?
Well, there was this one worker who said he was pushed from behind while he was alone down there, said it was hard enough to make him lose his balance. Others have reported hearing these strange noises, like growls or guttural sounds coming from the shadows.
Okay, yeah, that's just creepy. You know, I think I'd be asking for a transfer to the upstairs bar if I were them. But hold on, what about things like, you know, objects being thrown around? Is that part of Toby's repertoire, or are we getting into Hollywood horror movie territory here?
It's hard to say for sure. I mean, you hear stories, right? Some of the employees talk about things being moved, even thrown sometimes. But then you've got others who've worked there for years and haven't experienced anything that dramatic. It's almost as if
he's choosing who gets to experience the full Toby. Have investigators ever tried, you know, talking to him directly to figure out what's behind these attacks?
They have, actually. And this is where those EVPs come into play. You know, electronic voice phenomena.
EVPs?
Yeah.
Right, of course. For those of us who aren't exactly ghost hunters in our spare time, can you explain what those are?
So basically, EVPs are audio recordings that paranormal investigators use, hoping to catch the voices of spirits. They'll ask questions, see if they get any kind of response. And you want to know what's really creepy. In the case of Moon River's basement, there's actually an EVP recording where you can allegedly hear a voice, and it's not a friendly one, saying, get out.
Whoa, get out. And it said it, like, in a creepy voice.
A very distinct, raspy voice, according to the reports. Gives me chills just thinking about it.
Yeah, that would definitely send me running for the hills. Do we know anything about this, Toby? I mean, who he might have been? A disgruntled former employee with an axe to grind, maybe?
That's the thing. Unfortunately, the sources we've looked at don't give us any specifics about Toby or his past or why he might be haunting the basement.
So he's an enigma wrapped in a ghost story.
Exactly.
Okay, well, we've covered Toby in the basement, but what about the rest of the building? Any other resident entities we should be aware of?
Well, the upper floors, they're mostly unused now, but that's where people report seeing Moon River's other resident ghost, the Lady in White.
Of course, a Lady in White. It wouldn't be a true haunting without one, right? But is she just floating around up there, or is there more to her story?
She's often spotted wearing what people describe as 19th century clothing, which makes sense given the building's history. But here's the thing. Unlike Toby, who seems to, you know, enjoy a good scare, the Lady in White is often described as being melancholic, almost like she's waiting for something or someone.
Waiting for someone. See, that's kind of heartbreaking. Adds a whole other layer to things, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Do we know anything else about her? Like who she was or why she might be hanging out in a brewery?
Sadly, no. Our sources don't give us any specifics about her identity or her story.
So we've got the aggressive Toby in the basement and a potentially heartbroken Lady in White upstairs. That's quite the mix of roommates. Have investigators tried to, you know, help her move on at all?
Some claim to have made contact, but whether they were successful or not.
Well, that's still up for debate. It seems she's not quite ready to give up her ghostly vigil just yet.
It really makes you wonder, doesn't it? What's keeping her tethered to that place? I mean, is there maybe a connection between her and the building's transformation from this grand hotel to a Civil War hospital?
Those are questions that have been puzzling people, skeptics, and believers alike for years.
Well, I'm definitely no expert on the paranormal, but this whole thing sounds like the perfect setup for a good old-fashioned ghost hunt. But before we grab our EMF readers and head into those shadows, let's rewind the clock a bit, back to that Civil War era you mentioned. It's not every day you hear about a luxury hotel being turned into a wartime hospital. You're right about that. And you know what? Understanding that period, it's crucial if we want to try and unravel all the layers of energy that seem to be clinging to Moon River.
Okay, then let's do it. Let's rewind the clock and see what secrets we can dig up.
Okay, so imagine, right? You're stepping back in time. It's 1863. The Civil War is in full swing, and Savannah, the city known for, you know, elegance, charm, all that, well, it's caught right in the middle of it all.
And the City Hotel, the building that'll become Moon River, it's right there in the thick of it. No longer a place of luxury, but a place of refuge.
Exactly. The city is overflowing with the sick and wounded. I mean, can you imagine the grand ballroom, the place where Savannah's elite once, you know, sipped champagne? It's now a makeshift infirmary. The air thick with, well, suffering instead of cigar smoke.
It's quite the contrast, isn't it? To think that a place designed for, like, celebration, for indulgence, could become a place of such sadness, such loss, in just a few short years. I mean, no wonder people say they feel a certain heaviness there.
It's hard to deny the weight of history in a place like that. Just think about it. The sheer volume of human suffering those walls must witness. the fear, the pain, it's almost like you can still feel it, you know?
And on top of all that, we're talking about a time before modern medicine, right? The treatments for something like yellow fever, they were, well, rudimentary at best.
Yeah.
Often agonizing. Makes you wonder, did those who suffered and died there, did they ever truly leave?
That's the question, isn't it? Did some part of them, their energy, their dot essence, did it become dot entangled with the building itself?
Okay, now that's a chilling thought. But it also makes me think about something you mentioned earlier, residual energy. Can you, you know, break that down a bit for those of us who might not be experts on all things paranormal?
Sure, sure. So in the simplest terms, think of residual energy like an echo, right? An energetic echo of the past. It's not a conscious entity, not like what people traditionally picture when they hear ghost. It's more like an imprint, something left behind by strong emotions or a traumatic event.
Okay, so not a spirit exactly, but more like a recording, playing on a loop, imprinted on the very fabric of the building.
That's a great way to put it. It's like the energy of those events, it seeps into the walls, the floors. It becomes part of the place itself. And for some people, those who are more sensitive to these things, well, it can manifest as a feeling, a sound, even a smell, something that just seems out of place.
So, in the case of Moon River, are we saying that some of what people are experiencing, especially in that basement, could it be the residual energy of those who suffered and died there during its time as a Civil War hospital?
It's definitely possible. I mean, think about it, right? We have these stories of workers feeling threatened, even physically pushed, and it's all happening in the very spot where all this suffering occurred. Maybe what they're encountering isn't some malevolent entity named Toby, but rather
the echoes of past trauma, lashing out in a way we can't fully understand.
Exactly.
Okay, you know, now I'm even more curious about those EVP recordings you mentioned earlier, especially the one where the voice says, get out. I mean, if it's not Toby, could that voice be connected to this residual energy we've been talking about?
It's possible. Some paranormal investigators believe that in rare cases, residual energy can actually manifest as these disembodied voices, sounds, almost like it's trying to communicate something, to tell its story.
It's like the building itself is crying out, trying to make sense of its own past.
It's a compelling thought, isn't it?
It really is. So we've got this potential connection between the building's history as a Civil War hospital and these reports of, let's just say, unexplained activity.
Right. It makes you wonder if that line between, you know, the living and the dead, between the past and the present, maybe it's thinner than we think.
Okay. Now, those are the kind of goosebump-inducing thoughts I came here for. But we've spent a lot of time in the basement, metaphorically speaking, of course, and I want to make sure we talk about Moon River's other resident ghost, the Lady in White.
Ah, yes, the ethereal Lady in White. She seems to pop up in a lot of these haunted locations.
She really does, doesn't she?
Yeah.
It's like no haunting is complete without a Lady in White. But I have a feeling her story at Moon River is unique.
What kind of encounters are people reporting? Are they as, you know, overtly creepy as the ones associated with Toby?
You know, they're actually quite different. While Toby seems to be all about dread and, let's be honest, a bit of aggression, encounters with the Lady in White are often described as,
well,
melancholic, even peaceful.
Peaceful, that's not a word I usually associate with haunting. What makes you say that?
Well, she's most often seen on the upper floors, which, if you remember, were probably guest rooms back when Moon River was the city hotel.
Yeah.
And unlike Toby, who seems to have a flair for the dramatic, people often say they can feel her presence before they see her. Okay, see, now that's the kind of subtle spookiness that gets me. What do they feel exactly?
It's often described as a sudden shift in the atmosphere, like this wave of sadness washing over them, or the feeling that they're not alone, even though there's no one else around. And when they do see her, she's usually described as a beautiful woman dressed in a long white gown, often just gazing out of a window, lost in thought.
Like she's yearning for something or someone. See, that's what I mean about heartbreaking. It just adds another layer to this whole mystery. Do we know anything else about her? Who she might have been?
Sadly, no. Her identity, it remains a mystery. But there have been those who have tried to, you know, communicate with her to uncover her story.
Really? And what did they find? Did they get any answers?
Well, one investigator claimed to have made contact with her using a spirit box. You know, those devices that scan radio frequencies, hoping to pick up on, you know, voices or words that seem, well, paranormal in origin.
Oh, right. Like a ghostly radio dial.
Exactly. Anyway, during this one investigation, the investigator swore he heard the name Eliza come through the static, clear as day.
Eliza. Now, that's interesting. Is there any connection between that name and the building's history.
Unfortunately, our sources don't mention any prominent Elizas in connection to the City Hotel, but that doesn't mean the connection isn't there, right?
Good point. We're talking about a building with over 200 years of history under its belt. There are bound to be some missing pieces, some forgotten faces in the crowd.
Exactly. And who knows, maybe this Eliza, whoever she was, she might hold the key to understanding why the lady in white is still there.
Okay, well, now I'm invested in the Eliza mystery. It's like a historical scavenger hunt with a ghostly twist. Do we have any theories about who she might have been?
Well, we know the lady in white is often seen wearing clothes from the 19th century, so it stands to reason that Eliza might have also been from that era.
That makes sense. But who was she to the lady in white? A friend? A relative? Or, wait for it, a rival?
Now, wouldn't that be a story? All possibilities. And they all lead back to the biggest question, don't they? Why are these entities still there? What's keeping them tethered to this place?
The million-dollar question. Is it residual energy? Unfinished business? Or something else entirely?
And that's the beauty of it, right? These stories, these mysteries, they challenge us to confront the unknown, to question what we think we know about life, about death, about what might lie beyond.
Makes you want to book a flight to Savannah, grab an EMF reader, and see for yourself.
And speaking of seeing for yourself, there have been a lot of paranormal investigations at Moon River over the years, and some of the evidence they've collected, it's pretty intriguing, even for a skeptic like me.
Oh, do tell. Lay it on him. What kind of evidence are we talking about? And do you think any of it might help us solve the Eliza mystery?
Well, one of the most interesting things, aside from those EVPs we talked about earlier, are the photographs. Lots of photographs taken by different investigators over the years.
Photographs of the lady in white?
Not quite. These photographs, they capture something a bit more elusive. Some might even say more compelling. They show these dot orbs of light.
Orbs of light. Okay, yeah, I've heard about those. Aren't they pretty common in, like, paranormal investigations?
They are. But the orbs captured at Moon River, well, there's something about them. It's their consistency. They often show up in the same places where people have reported seeing the lady in white. And some people believe they could actually be a manifestation of her energy.
So not just random light anomalies, but something more intentional, like they're drawn to her.
Exactly. And get this, in some of these photos, the orbs, they appear to be moving. Almost as if they're dancing around the room.
Dancing orbs of light. Okay, now that's something I'd have to see to believe. Any chance these orbs could be connected to Eliza somehow?
It's hard to say for sure, but what's interesting is that the orbs are often photographed near where the old dining hall used to be. You know, a central gathering spot during the City Hotel's heyday.
And a place where, say, a certain Eliza might have spent a lot of time.
You're getting it. It's like putting a puzzle together. You know, we've got these tantalizing clues, Eliza, the orbs, the lady in white, and it's up to us to try and connect the dots.
A historical mystery wrapped in a ghost story.
Love it.
But before we get too caught up in theorizing, let's talk about the orbs for a second. What do the skeptics say about those?
Well, skeptics, they often chalk up orbs to more mundane things like dust particles, insects, even moisture reflecting the light in a certain way. And sure, sometimes that's the case. But a lot of paranormal investigators will argue that the orbs caught on camera at Moon River, they've got characteristics that go beyond, you know, just your average dust bunny.
Like what? What makes these orbs different?
For one thing, they show up in multiple photographs, often taken one right after the other, even when the photographer has moved. So, you know, it's not just a fluke of the light or a blurry camera.
So not a one-time thing. These orbs are putting on a show.
Right. And in some cases, get this, people have even said they can make out faces or figures within the orbs themselves.
Okay, hold on. Faces in the orbs. Now that's just dot creepy. Any idea who those faces might belong to? Could one of them be Eliza?
It's tough to say. The photos are often blurry, you know? It's hard to make out distinct features. But it does make you wonder, what if these orbs are more than just random bursts of energy? What if they're glimpses into another realm? Or windows to the souls of those who have passed on?
You know, it's enough to make you look at every shadow, every flicker of light, and think, what if?
Exactly. It reminds us that we don't know everything. There's still so much mystery in the world, just beyond our perception.
I love that. But while we're on the topic of unexplained events, we should talk about the people who report more subtle, less, you know, dramatic experiences at Moon River. What about the people who just feel cold spots or see shadows moving out of the corner of their eye? That kind of stuff always creeps me out more than any full-on ghost sighting.
You know, there's a reason those subtler experiences tend to stick with us. It's like they tap into something primal, something deep within us, that feeling that something is dot off, even if you can't quite put your finger on it.
It's like when you walk into a room and the energy just feels dot heavy. Or when you could swear you saw someone standing there, but then you turn around and dead nothing.
Those kinds of experiences, they make us question ourselves, don't they? Our own senses, our perception of reality. And in a place like Moon River, where the line between past and present already feels so blurred, those feelings, they can become amplified, more intense.
Like our senses are on high alert, picking up on signals we don't fully understand.
Exactly. And in a way, those subtler experiences are more relatable, even to people who wouldn't necessarily consider themselves, you know, sensitive to paranormal activity. We've all felt a chill run down our spine. Or felt a sudden wave of sadness for no reason.
It's those moments, those visceral reactions that make us wonder if there's more to this world than what we can see and touch.
Right. They remind us that we're not just physical beings, but energetic beings as well. And that our energy, our emotions, well, they can linger long after we're gone.
So when it comes to Moon River, are we saying it's haunted in the traditional sense? Or is it simply saturated with the energy, the emotions of its past?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? And I honestly don't think there's a simple answer. Maybe it's both. Or maybe it's something else entirely, something you don't even have the language for yet.
You know, it's funny. We started out talking about Toby and the lady in white, even this mysterious Eliza. But when you really think about it, when you step back and look at Moon River as a whole, it's the feeling of the place that sticks with you, that sense of history, of mystery.
You said it. It's that lingering feeling, that question mark hanging in the air. That's what makes Moon River so fascinating.
It's a place that invites you to question, to explore, to embrace the unknown. And who knows? Maybe that's the whole point. Maybe these stories, these hauntings, they're not meant to scare us, but to remind us that there's still magic in the world. Even if it's hidden in the shadows.
Maybe the real ghosts are the stories we tell ourselves, you know? The ones that haunt our waking hours and color our dreams.
And maybe that's the best kind of ghost story. The one that stays with you, that makes you look at the world with a little more wonder, a little more curiosity.
Exactly, because at the end of the day, the best stories, the ones that really stick with you, they're the ones that make you think, that make you feel, that make you question everything you thought you knew.
Well said. You know, it's funny how one name, just a whisper from the past, can suddenly make this whole thing feel so much bigger.
It's true.
It's like we've stumbled onto this, like, secret passageway in Moon River's history, and we have to see where it leads.
It really is. I mean, we started out talking about spooky stories, creepy encounters, and now it's like a full-blown historical mystery, you know? If we can track down Eliza, who knows what we might find?
Well, we know that back in its heyday, Moon River, or I guess the City Hotel as it was called then, was the place to be in Savannah.
Oh, yeah.
So if Eliza was connected to it at all, her name could be in all sorts of old records, guest books, ledgers, maybe even someone's diary tucked away in an attic somewhere.
Can you imagine uncovering some faded signature in a dusty old ledger?
Uh-huh.
Or finding my dearest Eliza scrawled in a letter? Any of that could be the link, you know, the thing that connects her to the lady in white, maybe even to Toby somehow.
Now, wouldn't that be something? To find this tangible connection, this thread between these ghostly whispers and the actual documented history of the place.
It would be amazing. A real life historical mystery, like something out of a movie.
I know, right?
But, you know, we should probably tap the brakes a little on getting too ahead of ourselves. Even if we do manage to figure out who Eliza was, there's no guarantee it'll answer all our questions about the lady in white or explain what's going on in that basement. Sometimes the best mysteries are the ones that don't have easy answers, you know?
I hear you. Some stories are maybe better left untold, or at least partially hidden behind the curtain of time. But speaking of stories, we've talked about the more, I don't know, dramatic occurrences at Moon River.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things being moved, disembodied voices. But what about the more subtle stuff? You know, like cold spots, shadows, that feeling of being watched. Honestly, that stuff creeps me out more than any ghost sighting ever could.
I think there's a reason for that, though. Those subtler experiences, they tap into something almost primal, you know, like deep down, we're all hardwired to feel when something is just a little bit dot off, even if we can't explain it.
It's like when you walk into a room, you just dot feel it. You know, the energy is just dot heavy. Or when you could swear you saw someone out of the corner of your eye, but when you turn around, there's no one there.
Right. And those experiences, they can really mess with your head because it's like, They make you question your own senses, your own grip on reality.
Yeah.
And in a place like Moon River, where the line between the past and present already feels so thin, well, those feelings can get dialed up to 11.
It's like all your senses are heightened, on high alert, yeah, tuned into this frequency you don't even understand.
Exactly. And honestly, in a way, I think those subtler experiences, they're more accessible to the average person, even to people who wouldn't necessarily consider themselves, you know, sensitive to paranormal stuff. We've all felt a chill down our spines before, right? Or felt a sudden wave of sadness or unease for no reason.
It's those moments, those little visceral reactions that make you stop and wonder if maybe, just maybe, there's more to this world than meets the eye.
100%. They remind us that we're not just physical beings, you know? We're energetic beings too. And that energy, those emotions, they can linger long after we're gone.
So when we talk about a place like Moon River, are we really saying it's haunted? Or is it more like it's just saturated with the energy and emotions of everything and everyone who's passed through its doors?
Now there's the million-dollar question. And if I'm being honest, I don't think there's a single answer. Maybe it's both. Or maybe it's something else entirely, something we haven't even thought of yet.
I know, right? For a while there, we got so caught up in the specifics. Toby, the lady in white, Eliza. But when you zoom out, look at Moon River as a whole. It's the feeling of the place that really gets under your skin, you know? That sense of history, that dot aura of mystery.
You nailed it. It's that lingering feeling, that little question mark hanging in the air long after you've left. That's what makes Moon River so compelling.
It makes you want to believe.
Yeah. You know?
Or at least it makes you want to keep asking questions.
Definitely.
It's a place that invites you to do that. To question, to explore, to embrace the unknown. And who knows, maybe that's the point of all these stories, these hauntings, right? Maybe they're not supposed to scare us, but to remind us that there's still magic in the world, even if it hides in the shadows.
I like that. Maybe the real ghosts are the stories we tell ourselves.
Ooh, that's good.
The ones that stay with us, keep us up at night.
And maybe those are the best kind of ghost stories, you know? The ones that linger in your mind, make you look at the world with a little more wonder, a little more curiosity.
Absolutely, because at the end of the day, the stories that matter, the ones that really stick with you, they're the ones that make you think, that make you feel, that make you question everything.
Well said. Well said. Well, folks, that's about all the time we have for today's deep dive into Savannah's Moon River Brewing Company. But hey, the conversation doesn't have to end here.
Not at all.
If you're ever in Savannah with a thirst for, well, maybe a good craft beer and a little mystery, consider paying Moon River a visit.
Just, you know, maybe bring a flashlight or two.
And hey, if you happen to hear a name whispered on the breeze, or see a flicker of light that seems to dance to his own tune, don't be afraid to lean in a little closer. You never know what secrets you might uncover.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep.
Want to dig deeper in the paranormal deep dive? Press subscribe now wherever you download podcasts and catch brand new paranormal deep dives every single day from Real Ghost Stories Online and the Grave Talks podcast.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer, it's a diagnosis that changes everything, and yet the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
When I first heard the words, "you have lung cancer," I was in shock.
This week on a special episode of Health Discovered, we're taking a closer look at a common form of lung cancer that accounts for 85% of all cases.
I'm Janet Freeman Daly, and I've been living with non-small cell lung cancer since 2011.
Non-small cell lung cancer. It's a diagnosis that changes everything, and yet the conversation around it too often stops at the biology and misses what patients are actually living through every single day.
There are some things you used to be able to do that you can't do anymore. It's easy to become depressed when you're dealing with all those losses. So mental health plays a really big role.
So what does it really mean to advocate for yourself when you're living with non-small cell lung cancer? Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Whether it's slots or live dealers, SpinQuest.com has the fun and action you're looking for with SpinQuest exclusives, blackjack, roulette, baccarat, and even live dice with craps and bubble craps. The games never stop, so you don't have to. And right now, new users get $30 coin packs for just $10. Play now at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Life with CIDP can be tough, but the Thrive Team, a specialized squad of experts, helps people living with CIDP make more room in their lives for joy. Watch Rare, Well Done.
An all-new reality series, Rare, Well Done, offers help and hope to people across the country who live with the rare disease CIDP. Watch the latest episode now, exclusively on RareWellDone.com.
Here's the truth. You could literally be adored by everyone and then come home and still get completely ignored by your own cat. It's classic cat behavior. But new Shiba Premium Puree is a lickable treat that changes all that. They're protein-rich, made with bone broth, and have the smooth, creamy texture cats go crazy for, especially when it's hand-fed. Yeah, it's more than a treat. It's a fast pass to favorite human status. So feed your cat Shiba and go from totally ignored to truly adored in just 12 days, guaranteed, or your money back. Learn more at Shiba.com.